from the Duck South Studios in Morgan City, Mississippi.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
I want to punch you in the face so bad right now.
This is the On the X podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Get the governor a harumph.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Today's episode is brought to you by Advantage Multi from Bayer. Advantage Multi is veterinarians' number one choice in the prevention of heartworms, fleas, roundworms, hookworms, and whipworms. Treats and controls sarcoptic mange. Make sure your dog is protected by using Advantage Multi.
I said what I said and I'll stand by it to the death.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
And now, here are your hosts, J. Paul Jackson.
You just love to hear yourself talk, don't you? Even when you're not saying anything.
Rocky LaFleur.
Yo, Adrian! Adrian!
Houston Kennedy.
Please, Houston, we have a problem.
And Josh Webb.
Coons! Well, raccoon's trying to get on our back porch. Mama just chased him off with a broom.
Welcome to the On the X podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com. I'm J. Paul Jackson, and today I'm joined by my co-host, the illustrious, the handsome, the talented Rocky LaFleur. And also, we have a very, very, very special guest today. We have the DuckSouth.com intern, the lovely and talented Miss Hannah Riggs. Hannah, honey, it's great to have you on here with us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And Rocky, it's good to have you here, too.
I told you I'm not giving you any money. Stop trying to kiss up.
You're so tight you squeak when you walk, so that does not shock me at all. Of course, this week, the On the X podcast powered by DocSouth.com is brought to you by Bayer Animal Healthcare, makers of Advantage Multi, the only heartworm preventative proven to be 100% effective in the prevention of heartworms in the Mississippi Delta.
J-Paul.
Yes, sir, my brother.
Hannah's got big news. Hannah's got big news that she wants to announce. Hannah has gotten engaged.
Yes, what? I have. I'm getting married next summer.
No kidding. Congratulations, Hannah.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm very excited and busy wedding planning for sure.
Oh, yes, and that could really mess up duck season trying to plan a wedding during it.
Yes, good thing I made the wedding June 17th. I wanted to pick a day to where I know my fiancé's not going to be late because he's sitting in a duck blind or a deer stand.
Amen.
That brings me to a point. You know, and I kind of brought that up to bring this up. I got an invitation for a wedding. Guess when? Opening weekend of turkey season.
Oh,
they must not be hunters.
The groom-to-be is a hunter. And he's a turkey hunter.
He let his wife pick the date. That's what that is.
That's right. He's just downright inconsiderate. And obviously he let his wife pick the date. And that just shows you what's going to be going on down the road. Because she picked the date, opening day of turkey season, and he agreed. So I think that says a whole lot about their relationship and about his future hunting and fishing.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Both of y'all both said it. You know, that kind of shows where that relationship's headed to.
Yep. See, now my dad's idea for our wedding was to have it deer and duck season, and one of his best friends is a guide on Realfoot and an ordained minister. To just do the wedding right before shoot time and everybody go celebrate afterwards in the duck blind, but I didn't want to go for that idea quite as much.
Actually, that sounds like a really good idea. The problem is every year, yeah, your anniversary will always be during duck season, and that could be problematic in the future.
Very problematic, but we are having the Realfoot guy do our wedding ceremony, so my fiance kind of got a win there for that. He can say he was married by a Realfoot guide.
That's pretty cool.
That is. That's what I was going to say. I'm going to pull out the J-Paul line. That is pretty cool.
Hey,
even the thought of it, doing that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree, but I just wasn't too willing to go for the duck blind ceremony, though.
Oh, come on, Hannah, be a sport. Everybody needs to be married in a duck blind.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you to the guys that's listening to this right now. I know that the wedding is supposed to be all about the women, but if your lady is trying to schedule a wedding during the middle of hunting season, you may need to try to find another woman. And if you have no say in that date, you know, you're just like Jay Paul was talking about, you may have a little bit of trouble later on. So, you know, sit down and talk with that lady about the days, about the wedding.
If you're a regular listener, of course, you've heard this probably story before, but Hannah, you probably don't know this. Before I met my wife, I actually was engaged to a very sweet and lovely young lady that I dated for a couple of years. And I'm not exaggerating. Our engagement ended like this. We were planning a spring wedding, something after duck season, but her parents were coming to town during duck season. Actually, they were going to be showing up to do some wedding planning on the opening weekend of the Missouri duck season. This is while I was a student at Mizzou. And she was making plans for us on that Saturday morning. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'll be in a duck blind. You know, when you're talking about we're going to do this and we're going to do that, you must be talking about you and the mouse in your pocket, because I'm going to be in a duck blind. And I promise you, she looked me in the eye, Hannah, and she said, well, you know what? You just got to make a choice. You know, now you're got to fix it to be married, be more responsible. Are you going to be a duck hunter or are you going to be a husband? And I promise you, I gave her a look and said, you know what? That's not even a real question. I went and picked up my shotgun and my blind bag, and I walked out the front door of my apartment, and I didn't come back for 2 days.
Well, you shouldn't have to choose between the two.
Yep, that ended that relationship right there. And now my wife, who in January will celebrate our 24th wedding anniversary,
wow,
she's been really cool about it. We planned our wedding around getting married after duck season ended. Unfortunately, duck season's changed after that, so now my anniversary comes up during the last weekend of duck season frequently. But we've even had our kids, her doctor induced labor, so our kids wouldn't be born on a day that would interfere with an opener or hunting or fishing. So
that's a smart idea.
I got married in February. I made my plans. Mine was dead in the middle of any, between duck season and turkey season. Nothing else was going to be going on my wedding day. And no football games. Do not schedule two things you always schedule a wedding around. One is hunting season, but two are football games. Because people pay a lot of money for home football tickets. And if you schedule a wedding on the day of a home football game that a lot of your wedding party, probably most of the people are going to be in your wedding you met in college, don't do that. Don't do that. Schedule it around a home football game, because those people paid a lot of money for football tickets. Don't make them choose about coming to your wedding or their first love, their whoever, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Alabama, Auburn, whoever it may be.
Rocky LaFleur, the wedding planner. Who'd have ever thought it? I think you need to go into business, Rocky.
I'm just ranting, man. You know how I get on my rants.
Yeah, and we said that we were going to start doing the podcast with some more serious duck hunting talk in the intro. So probably we ought to turn the tables here and change the line of conversation to duck hunting. Now, Hannah, you've been the Duck South intern for the last several months. I've got a question for you. I know your dad's a hunter. I know you come from a hunting family, but were you a duck hunter prior to coming to work with us?
I was a duck hunter when I started dating my fiance now, actually. I went duck hunting for the first time last season. So I'd grown up around it, but I just never got into the duck blind until I started dating him.
Cool.
Yes, sir.
What have you learned riding about duck hunting and waterfowling and all the things related to it for the DuckSouth.com website.
I love seeing people's passion for it. You know, like, I know people love hunting, but getting to hear these guys' stories and, you know, I feel like I was in their place there, and it makes me more excited to want to get back into the duck blind, seeing how excited everybody is about it, how passionate they really are.
Now, Hannah went to Raggio Call Night with me and Roy Ann back in, was it June, Hannah?
Was it June? I think that sounds right.
Yeah, and Hannah actually won a duck call, J-Paul, at Raggio Call Night. It was an echo call. David St. John brought some calls down to Raggio Call Night that night. Hannah and I both won a call. Now, Hannah, have you been practicing on that duck call?
I have a little bit. I would say I'm not proficient enough to want to blow it in front of very many people yet, but I have been practicing on it some at home. I have.
Now, has Garrett helped you? Has Garrett helped you any?
He tries to help me. I will definitely say he tries his best to help me with it, but I'm still just can't quite get the hang of it yet. But luckily, I still do have a little bit of time before duck season hits to kind of brush up on that a little bit more.
Now, what are you having trouble with as far as learning how to blow the call?
I don't think I'm getting enough from deep down is what everybody's telling me. It's not giving the oomph that it kind of needs, I guess.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you a tip right here. Do you remember when you were a kid and if you were like me, I lived in the middle of nowhere, wasn't a lot to do during
this
the wintertime.
Really,
you were
really
usually
scary.
Inside. Yeah.
Rocky LaFleur, I've heard you blow a duck call. Having you give somebody a duck calling tip is scary, scary, scary. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, I'm going to help her overcome that's a major problem with a lot of people that are just starting to blow calls is they don't understand the mixture of air that needs to come from your diaphragm. So this is what I want you to imagine. If you remember when you were a kid, you would walk up to a window when it was cold outside and you would blow on the window. That is about the same amount of air that you need to make into a duck call. Just imagine that you're fogging that window up with that deep, you know, you remember that. Coming from, it's a little bit coming from your mouth, but it's a lot more coming from your diaphragm. That's the easiest way to explain it to you.
I am very impressed. That was actually very, very good advice.
I've got a little bit, not much, but it's a little bit of knowledge in this head.
I got a question for you, Hannah.
Yes, sir.
Was there anything you didn't know about duck hunting that you have found out while doing this internship that really surprised you? I mean, can you think of one thing where you went, wow, I didn't know that?
A lot of the conservation that goes into duck hunting, I know I've talked to some guys from NWTF, and I know that is turkeys, but I think it also plays over into the duck field, too. Just the amount, you know, of research that goes into knowing about all that kind of stuff, as well as talking to you about duck migration patterns and why there aren't as many ducks down here, because I've definitely heard my whole life growing up, oh, we don't have enough ducks this season. It's this, that, and the other, and kind of just hearing, you know, why that really is, I think definitely stuck out to me. That's not something I would have ever came up with on my own, for sure.
You know, that's really cool, and I'm glad to hear you say that, Hannah, because I tell you, I think one of the great things about this podcast and a lot of the people that we get to come on here with us and talk to, you know, guys like Ramsey Russell and Joe Robinson, who we had on over the weekend, who is a very, very knowledgeable biologist, you know, a lot of these guys can help dispel some of the myths that are out there. And that's one of the things that through this podcast I want to do is, you know, bring these guys on that are knowledgeable and separate fact from fiction. And I think it's really cool that you picked up on some of that, Hannah.
Right, definitely so. And one of my other favorite things through this internship is just getting to talk to a lot of the people who are higher up in the industry and kind of know things and know people and getting to talk to them and really how personable and friendly, down-to-earth all these guys are. I feel like a lot of other professions and different areas like that, the people high up there, they aren't somebody you could just sit down and talk to and get along with and feel like you have a one-on-one connection with them and everything. And I feel like the guys that I've gotten to talk to with Duck South, I definitely, definitely feel that they're just the most genuine, down-to-earth people you can meet.
I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Now you have wrote a lot of stories about funny things that have happened on Duck South. Now, these are true stories, and you wrote some of the most click stories ever on Duck South since we started putting out articles, per se. And
right.
I have to ask you, when you were recreating these stories and writing them in your own words, looking back, what was the funnest story that you wrote?
Definitely One Shot Pain. One Shot Pain, hands down. The first time I read that story, it was actually before you had even told me to go look at it, and I found it. And me and Garrett were just laughing our butts off on the couch for about 15 minutes on that story. We were just dying and getting to, you know.
All right, hold on. Hannah, hold on a second. Hold on. I don't mean to stop you. But, J-Paul, can you summarize this story for J-Paul? Because he's not going to know what in the world you're talking about. And I want J-Paul to know what this story is before you go any further.
Good, because I'm as lost as last year's Easter egg right now. So which story, Hannah?
The best way to sum it up, that I know, it was about a college guy and a bunch of his friends. They decide to go duck hunting one morning, and they're not paying attention. They have, like, a little tiny boat loaded down with all of their stuff in the bag.
Oh, yes, I remember this thread. They lost their boat and a bunch of the
all
Duck
of it.
South. Yeah, I can't remember when that happened. And a bunch of the Duck South people that you were just talking so nice about, like, came together and donated stuff to them to replace.
Yes. Yeah, they actually did. I think some shotgun shells, I think is what he ended up getting. And it was kind of a cool coincidence, too. Some of his friends were eating at a restaurant, and there wasn't enough tables. So they sat down with this random guy. Turned out to be a member of Duck South who had talked to One Shot Pain. And long story short, they actually ended up getting some shells from him.
Well, the funny part about the story was, though, J-Paul, One Shot Payne lost all of this stuff, lost it off of a trailer on his way to a public land duck hunt, and decided 1 year later, 1 year, almost 1 year to the date, to put on Duck South, lost boat, lost blind, lost decoys, was the title of his post. And he asked in this post 1 year later if anybody had seen it. Is that correct, Hannah?
Yep, that's correct. And I think what makes it so funny, it's not even necessarily that happened, but all the guys on the site comments back to him and everything. I mean, that's what really just got us going laughing.
Did he find it? Did anybody come up with his stuff?
No. He still has not found it.
I would have to say, if I can throw my comment in here, Hannah, about what you've done so far for Duck South, It would have to be anything to do with Big Water. I mean, what you've done as far as stories with Big Water, especially with the Cross Gates Lake WMA.
That was my runner-up favorite story that I've written.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, let me tell you,
J-Paul.
Your blogs have definitely made the site more interesting, too, Hannah. I have to say that I found them very entertaining.
Thank you. I really enjoyed getting to talk to Big Water. He is hilarious. I wish I could just give everybody the recordings of just what he's saying, because that alone is way more entertaining than however I can phrase it into words, for sure.
When are we going to have him on here with us, Rocky?
Soon. I've actually notified him about being on here, and he's definitely in, because the day that he's on here, I promise you that podcast will get shared multiple times, just because it'll be just nothing but laughing. This guy's hilarious. He may look, and saying all that, he may get on the air and just lock up.
No. I've had him on television with me. Remember, I did a till hunt with him, and he was fine with the cameras rolling. So I don't think he's going to have any problem when the fat lady comes on and says, now recording.
Now, I've definitely enjoyed getting to meet the different guys on the site and talk to them. There's so many different colorful personalities, and just hearing the guys' stories, I mean, they're all a hoot. I love it.
Okay, Hannah, well, now, do you have any questions for Rocky and I?
Yeah, I do have one. It's about duck hunting, and, you know, like I said, I've only been duck hunting actually twice, and the thing that really got me the most is how fast-paced it is. Like, I'm used to sitting in a deer stand and being able to take my time. When the deer comes out, I can put my gun up, pull when I'm ready. And the first time I was in the duck blind, everybody was saying, okay, they're coming in, put your guns up, shoot. And I'm still trying to put my gun up to my shoulder and figure out everything. So it was extremely fast-paced. So what kind of advice would you have for me as getting more comfortable with that?
Well, I've got some really, really good advice for you.
Okay.
Trade Garrett in for a guy whose daddy owns about 1,000 acres of flooded green timber in Arkansas, and make sure when you're hunting, it's only the two of you guys, and then you don't have to compete with anybody else.
Right. That's my goal for this year, is to actually go. I mean, it won't be in Arkansas, unfortunately, but to go just me and him or me and my dad, and there not be so many people I'm competing with, I guess.
Yeah, and I was just joking about trading Garrett in.
Oh.
You know, what I would advise, and I did this with all of my girls, and I did it with my wife. You know, when we would go and they were going to shoot in the early going, I would make it where it was just about them, so they got comfortable with it. So, you know, look for those opportunities. I mean, heck, I went through something very similar this past December when I lost my right eye and had to start all over and learn to shoot left-handed. And, you know, my first few times in the field, I didn't want to go with a whole bunch of people where I was going to be in competition. And, you know, I wanted to get the hang of coming up left-handed on my own. So the best advice that I can get you to become more comfortable is get out there with your dad, get out there with Garrett, find an opportunity early on this season to go a couple, three times where you're not competing with a blind full of experienced guys, and I think you'll slide into it and get comfortable. And also, for you guys out there listening that want to get your wife or your girlfriend or your kids into it, I'm going to give you the exact same advice. When you take them hunting on those early experiences, make it be all about them. You know, don't make it about you and your buddies. I mean, it's great. You know, for me, I love having my wife out there with my buddies. My wife's also my best friend and coworker, and, you know, I can't get enough of being around her. But in the beginning, I wanted to make it about her and her learning. And so when you're introducing somebody, you know, like you're getting your introduction, Hannah, try to make it where you're not competing with a bunch of folks.
Right,
what do you think, Rock?
I think if you get more experience, more time in the duck blind, I think that you will learn when to put the gun up to your shoulder and be more prepared. And in the sense of what I'm saying is, most experienced duck hunters and duck callers, that's one thing I want you to pay attention to, Hannah, when you're hunting with the people that you're hunting with. Mm-hmm. Usually when you see a duck caller go down on his duck call in his volume, that means that the ducks are getting close. So I would go ahead and grab my gun and kind of not put it up to your shoulder, but kind of just put it right there under your underarm.
Right.
And
right.
That'll speed up the process by half a second, because it takes a while to shoulder a gun. But if you have it there and have it under your underarm, kind of, when you see that the lead duck caller kind of going down, like I said, going down on his volume on the call, that means they're getting close. So get ready.
Right. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to talk over you, Hannah, but I'm just amazed, Rocky. That's two good tips in one day. I mean, you gave an excellent one on duck calling, on fog in the mirror, and you just gave another great one on what to cue in on to know that the ducks are coming in close if you're not looking. Oh, God, I mean, my whole attitude about you as a duck hunter is going to have to shift a little bit, doggone it.
I'm out for the year, man. No more good advice coming from me.
And, you know, I'm sorry, guy. No, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea, too, because Rocky runs a great guide service there at Moss Hill. And you're a great duck hunter, Rocky. I just had to give you some crap. But both of those really were really good pieces of advice. Okay, Hannah, back to you.
The other potential problem I was going to say that I might have this season is we realized a few weeks ago that while I'm right-hand dominant, I'm actually left-eye dominant. So this whole time I've been shooting like I'm right-eye dominant. It turns out I'm actually not. So that could have led to some potential problems for me last season when I was shooting at the ducks anyways. So what advice would you have to kind of overcome that or get used to it, I guess?
Well, I'll tell you, because I was right eye dominant. Now that my right eye doesn't work, I don't have that problem anymore. But you've got a couple of options. Going to left-handed is not as difficult as you might think. If you're ambidextrous at all, you might, you know, go on right now early before you get a lot of muscle memory and into really the habit of shooting right-handed a lot. Start shooting left-handed. Give it a try. And of course, you know, the other thing, if you're left-eye dominant, but you do shoot right-handed, you want to continue that. You're either going to have to train yourself to close that left eye or drop a patch over it or something to give your right eye the go-ahead, you know, to take over. The easiest thing is just close that left eye.
Right, right.
And I've heard shooting coaches give all kinds of advice there, but you know, the practical thing is, you know, just either moving to left-handed or closing that left eye if you continue to go right. What do you think, Rocky?
And I'm out on that one. I can't tell you anything to do with that one. I tried to throw a football left-handed one time and it didn't go too well.
Well, trust me, shooting left-handed is not nearly as difficult. I mean, I'm not ambidextrous at all, but, you know, I'm getting the hang of it. It's just something that you've got to do repetitively. And Hannah, in your case, you know, how long have you been shooting?
I've been shooting for about 4 years.
Is it something you do a lot?
I would say maybe 2-3 times a month we'll go to the farm and shoot clay pigeons.
Well, you've been doing it quite a bit then. You know, you may not want to try to make the switch. It may be easier for you to close that left eye. Wear a patch right over it if you need to while you're shooting.
Right. I'll definitely have to try that for sure.
All right, J-Paul.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to J-Paul now. We've got a Duck South dog training question, J-Paul. Just came across the wire.
Really?
Yes, sir. Just came in. And this Duck South user wants to know, if they didn't use you for a dog trainer, what characteristics in a dog trainer should they be looking for in picking one out for their puppy?
There are two or three things that you need to look at, and that's a really good question. And you know, I actually think about this from the standpoint of being a dog trainer, too. What would people see if they looked, you know, for me? Number one, you want to go out and train with that person more than once. I would suggest going and visiting their kennels 2 or 3 times and observing them while they're training. Take a look at how they interact with their dogs. I mean, obviously you want someone, I know this sounds stupid, but believe it or not all dog trainers are really dog people. So you want a guy that is a dog person that you can tell, you know, communicates with the dog, understands and can read them, and also someone that gives their corrections, the things that they're doing with the dog. You can tell it's fair, it's equitable. You know, they're trying to help the dog succeed. And those are the things that, you know, we try to do in our training every day, be consistent, try to set our dogs up for success, not failure. Try to read the dog, and you know, we have a very systematic approach for training. We've got a blueprint that we go by with almost every dog in our kennel, but you've got to be adaptable. I mean, you cannot put a square peg in a round hole. And then take a look at that guy's work ethic, because that's going to tell you a whole lot about how much time he's going to spend with your dog. So you know, just to summarize, three things. I would, you know, watch them train, watch how they interact with the dog, make sure their personality fits your dog. Number two, are they fair and equitable with their dogs? Do they try to set them up for success? Number three, do they take it serious and really, really work hard at it? Or are they just a dog trainer because they couldn't hold down a job doing anything else and they read a book about it and thought, wow, you know, I'll do this. I mean, unfortunately, in our world, dog training is like parenting. Those are two things that I think, you know, you got to buy a license to catch a fish, to drive a car, to open a business downtown. But any idiot can say they're a dog trainer, or any idiot can father a child. There's no requirement for it. So screen them a little bit. Take a look at those three things. And if you're not comfortable with the first person you look at, by all means, keep on moving down the road.
This training tip was brought to you by Training with J. Paul. Now, Training with J. Paul is a website that will help further you in your retriever training. It has loads of content, written content, and videos. But my favorite part is Ask J. Paul. Just click on the tab, ask J. Paul any training question you may have. J. Paul is really good about responding back to that question within 24 to 48 hours, possibly with even a video on how to make that correction. So it's trainingwithjpaul.com. And look, we have a discount code for On the X podcast listeners. It is On the X. Just enter that into the coupon code text box. On the X. It's for podcast listeners and DuckSouth.com users. On the X.
Rocky, thank you for that shameless plug for me. But seriously, you know, AskJPaul.com. I do love the questions that I get. I also love the questions that we get from the DuckSouth.com users, and I hope you guys will keep it coming. Ms. Riggs, I know we promised that we would only keep you for about half an hour, so we're about to run out of time here. But before we shut her down for the evening, any closing comments, any thoughts, any observations you'd like to throw out there for On the X podcast listeners?
Just thanks for letting me come on the podcast, and to any Duck South users that are listening and that I've interviewed, thank you so much for letting me get to interview you, and I hope to get to interview more of them, get to know more of them and hear their stories, because it's definitely something I love to do, and trying to put their stories into words that are entertaining to everybody and make them kind of feel the same emotions. So I love what I'm doing right now.
Awesome. You're doing a great job at it. Rocky, closing thoughts, brother?
This is my closing thought. We need to bring Hannah on this podcast like once or twice a month just to help us interview some of these guys that comes on here. And it's nice to have a lady's voice on here. And especially a lady that plans her wedding not in hunting season, folks.
Oh, amen. I'm all about having her back on a regular basis. And, you know, if you've read the articles, you can tell that Hannah is a great interviewer. So, honestly, I think that's a great idea. And I think it would give us a little bit of a different and fresh perspective. So, Hannah, I think you just put on another hat for DuckSouth.com as the DuckSouth.com intern. Now you're going to be a regular co-host of the On the X podcast. And by the way, once again this week, the On the X podcast was brought to you by Hardcore Decoys and Hardcore Brands, makers of the most innovative and durable hunting products out there for waterfowlers. They know it's not easy being hardcore. And I'm really, really excited also to announce that next week, Hardcore Brands will be launching their new website, hardcore-brands.com, and the On the X podcast will be available on the website from the day it's launched as a link. Really want to say a big thank you to the folks at Hardcore for sharing our podcast with everybody.
Amen. I'll throw in an amen.
Well, Rocky, that does it for me also. Thank all of you guys out there who listen to the On the X podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.